familiar with the Macon Telegraph?
I am very familiar with the Macon Telegraph, being from Winter Robins.
That's great. Well, I was going to ask you that. How long, when you were younger, how long did you live in Winter Robins? Are you originally born there?
I was born right there in Nelson County Hospital, graduated from Winter Robins High School in 91, Go Demons. And so it's definitely my hometown.
Okay, well, that's great. You don't meet a lot of people who are actually from Winter Robins. I think we just claim them after about 5 years. But I understand you're busy this morning, so thanks for taking time to speak with me. And I was looking at your CV and what you had wanted to talk about, and then kind of your outreach work and your liaison work. Can you kind of outline what you do and what your role is there?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I am the ISAF, International Security Assistance Force, strategic partner for the Afghanistan Ministry of Information and Culture. So in that ministry, which is what you could equate to a cabinet-level office back in the U.S., like Secretary of anything, Interior, Defense, what have you, that ministry contains four deputy ministries. Information as its own, culture, youth affairs, and tourism. So I focus in predominantly in the youth affairs arena with Deputy Minister Tamar Zaksai. Youth here in Afghanistan is defined as by the Afghan government as boys and girls 14 to 30 years old, which is slightly different than what you and I think of youth, but that's how youth is defined here. And the youth comprise 68% of Afghanistan's population. 50% of Afghanistan's population is women. So my specialty and what I really work on most often is youth and women's affairs and how those two things tie together. What I have predominantly been working with the deputy minister on is bringing a voice to the youth of Afghanistan. It's the way the traditional culture is here in Afghanistan. The decision-making processes they occur through these things called shuras, which is just a meeting. It's where folks from a village, a district, a province, even at the national level, gather together to discuss issues, ideas, solutions, things like that. The Afghan culture values experience, which really equates to age and those that are older, like 40 and above. So you have the majority of the population, the youth, that is traditionally excluded from those decision-making type processes. And so what we're doing with the ministry is we are establishing youth shuras in all 34 provinces of Afghanistan to allow them to have a voice, to let them know that their voice is important, that they certainly have something to say, and that the government of Afghanistan is interested in what they have to say and wants to include them. So that has been my primary focus for the last 6 months. And then as we move into the next several months, we'll continue to build on that process and also focus some of our efforts even more in on women and the voice that women have in Afghanistan.
How seriously is the current government taking this? Given that this is kind of a break from their tradition, isn't it?
The USHRA program has received full support from the government back in October 30th to November 1st of 2010. We facilitated Afghanistan's first ever national youth general assembly. So at that time, 106 boys and girls from all of the provinces gathered here in Kabul and had a three-day conference. The president of Afghanistan, President Karzai, was so supportive of that event. Not only did he write a letter and proclamation that was read at the very first opening ceremony, but he invited all 106 boys and girls to the palace. They had lunch with him, and he spent 2 hours personally talking to them, listening to their concerns and pledging his support. Not only does the youth voice have support at the presidential level, as we go, as we travel to all the provinces, the provincial governors have been 100% supportive. And at the USURAs, there is either provincial SURA, like that elder SURA representative. Sometimes there's members of parliament there. So it is, this support is huge, because I think that not only does the government of Afghanistan, but just the people in Afghanistan realize that these boys and girls are going to be the leaders of Afghanistan in the next 5 to 7 years. So it's important to start to develop them and get them involved in these processes early.
And on a day-to-day basis, what do you do? I mean, what is your interaction and what is your direct role in helping establish this?
Well, I am the strategic partner for the ministry. So on a daily basis, I have interaction with the minister, deputy minister, on setting strategy, policy, facilitate the planning and some of the execution of the SURAs themselves. And in addition to the initiation of the SURAs, I also work very closely with the ministry to establish a follow-up program. You know, once the SURAs have been set up, then it's important to continue that link and relationship. So we develop, you know, ways and means of doing that.
Okay. And I'm sorry I interrupted you earlier. You were talking, you have the other component, which is giving women a voice also. So if you could kind of outline that to me too, please.
Certainly. So as I said, you know, women in Afghanistan comprise 50% of the population. And women in Afghanistan have made tremendous progress over several years. And I have all kinds of examples I'm very happy to share with you. So not only do the women that we meet in all the provinces are very inspiring, but certainly the things that the women across the country have done. And so what I try to do is looking at not only recognizing the good things that women have done, the progress they've made, but also trying to establish programs as well that not only gives them a voice, but helps aid them to continue that progress.
You mentioned an example. Could you give me a couple of examples of what you're talking about?
Absolutely. So, for example, 7 years ago, there was 1 million children registered in schools in Afghanistan. Only 5% of those were girls. Today, we have nearly 7 million children registered for school in Afghanistan. 37% of those are young girls. 44% of the registered voters in the last election were women, which is unprecedented in Afghanistan. 9 of 6 members of the High Peace Council in Afghanistan are women. 69 of the 340 members of parliament are women. In the Afghan National Security Forces, which includes both the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police, there's over 1,400 women, and those numbers are increasing. We have 281 women-owned registered businesses in Afghanistan, which is a 100% increase from last year. So just example upon example of the great things that women have done.
Good. Well, I guess one of the questions that people probably ask is, you know, as the American presence and even the international presence draws down in the coming years, how do you continue to ensure that this grows and doesn't go back to the way it was?
The women and youth of Afghanistan are incredible in their drive, desire, and talent. And what I find is that they have a thirst and desire to make their own lives better and to continue to progress. And I find that Afghans helping Afghans is what makes this country strong and what will continue to keep this country going. And I'll give you a couple examples. We were in Nimroz a couple months back for Ashura, and we ran into a group of women that were teaching other women to drive, which is just unprecedented in the last, you know, several decades. and 50 women in Nimrose had received official driver's licenses from the government. That's amazing. We went into boys and girls that help their brothers and sisters. And by brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, everyone is called your brother and sister. I don't just mean your familiar relationships, but, you know, just the other men and women in Afghanistan. They're teaching them, if they know how to read and write, they're teaching others to read and write, which is absolutely huge. So what I see and what gives me the most hope is just that drive and desire of the people of Afghanistan to continue to progress forward.
If there was an area you had within what you're talking about, the SHURs and the youth and the women outreach and the programs that you have, there was one place you could pick, you could press a magic button and make it better today, what would that be?
Okay, asking that one more time. It's a little hard to hear on the phone. I'm sorry.
It's probably hard to get through on my phone also. If there's an area there with what you're talking about, with the SHURs, with the programs, with the youth and the women that you could make better today, what would that be? What needs the most work, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I think that what I see bringing a lot of progress instantaneously is the establishment of the USHURAs themselves. And if we could magically, you know, establish USHURAs in all 34 provinces in exactly the same day, I think that that would be amazing. But, you know, it's a process, and the minister takes it incredibly personally, so he personally travels to every single progress. And as we travel throughout the country, that takes a little bit of time. What's incredibly impressive is that he made a promise in November that he would start to travel to all 34 provinces. By mid to end December, he was out there on the road in 80 days, less than 80 days, he has already covered 48% of the country, and his plan is to finish 100% of the country in 2 months. So I can't shoot for 2 months in a time machine, but I'm really impressed by the rapid progress and seriousness in which it's being taken.
So in your opinion, this is not just a we're going to get this done, and not just Dakota Whitewash. You have real dedicated people within the Afghanistan government that believe in this.
Absolutely. Straight from the president on down through the ministry office to the provincial governors, to the provincial elders, to every boy and girl. They believe in it. The youth are big believers in the fact that they have a lot to contribute to the future of Afghanistan, as well as the president. So I think this is here to stay.
What's your take on the security situation there now? I mean, we see in this side of the ocean, we see a lot of reports about bombs and things like that, although it seems like it's calmed down a bit. Is it safer now than when you got there, Colonel?
I'm sure I can make that. I know that I feel very safe. When I travel throughout Afghanistan, okay. I've been to every region of Afghanistan, and I've traveled out, and I feel secure in the area, and I'm incredibly impressed with what the Afghan National Army and the Afghan National Police are doing. They truly do a fabulous job, and when I travel, that's who we rely on for our security, and I really feel safe under their protection.
And just a couple of background questions, if you don't mind. I know you're probably busy this morning, or it's morning here. It's you're 6 hours ahead, right, or seven and a half?
It's Eastern. 7:30 in the evening here, so it's like 9:30.
9:30, that's right. Okay. I noticed that you were a Black Hawk pilot. How do you go from being a helicopter pilot to basically being a liaison and a representative, almost a diplomat?
You know, I just lucky. One of the great things about being in the military is that aside from whatever your particular trained skill is, you are offered the opportunity to do a lot of great things. And this is just a unique opportunity that came up, and I am very lucky to be doing it, and I'm very happy in the contributions I'm being able to make.
I also noticed you worked for both the Clinton and the Bush White House. What did you do with the White House?
I did. I was a White House military social aide for the last 8 months of President Clinton's administration. And military social aides facilitate the president's and first lady's official events, things like, you know, state dinners, receptions, bill signings, different ceremonies that happen at the White House. During the Bush administration, I worked for 3 years in the President's Emergency Operations Center. And the way I describe that is, you know, the Secret Service is responsible for the safety and security of the president himself, the body, the person. The Emergency Operations Center is responsible for the safety and security of the office of the presidency. And so we would execute just different plans and procedures to ensure that that office is maintained through the constitutional lines of succession. I was also a military social aide during President Bush's term and was honored to work both of his inaugurational ceremonies. It was a great experience.
And how long have you been in Afghanistan now?
6 months.
And you were in Iraq also. When were you over there?
I was in Iraq September of 2006 to July of 2007, and during that tour, I was flying as a Black Hawk, a pilot. I was a battalion in Task Force S3, which is like an operations officer.
You get back to Warner Robins much?
I am looking forward to coming home for my 20th high school reunion this summer.
So what's the one, I mean, is there a favorite barbecue joint of yours around here or a restaurant, or what are you looking forward to? Any kind of home cooking you miss here?
I'm just looking forward to getting home to my family and friends. And I haven't been to Warner Robins in a long time, so I am absolutely looking forward to coming home, literally coming
Great.
Home.
One more question, Colonel. I noticed they sent some photos, and you were basically dressed in civilian dress. Do you mostly dress that way, or are you not in uniform most of the time? Or does it depend on your day-to-day schedule?
Yeah, here in Afghanistan, in this particular assignment, I am always in civilian attire. In all my other assignments, I'm in a military uniform, but in this assignment, I'm always in civilian attire.
And does that facilitate liaisoning, in good relations better? Is that the reason for that?
It does. Primarily, it helps to facilitate our interactions. We are out and about within the community all the time. And so what it does is it sort of puts us on, just instinctually, a little bit more of an equal footing with everyone. And it's also safety as well, certainly. And it's disabled us. It sort of makes us a little bit more approachable at first. And definitely facilitated a lot of positive relationships with those we've met.
Great. Hey, I appreciate you talking to us today. Thank you for your time.
Well, it's certainly my pleasure. Thank you very much for your interest in this. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of great things going on over here in Afghanistan, and there's a lot of progress that's being made, especially in the areas of youth and women. And I'm just really happy that there's an interest in that, and I can help share that.
Great. Well, if you're ever in Macon, stop by the office, and we'd love to meet you and shake your hand. Thank you, ma'am.
You know, I'll do that when I come home.
Great. Look forward to it. Goodbye.
Okay, thanks.